Welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today.
Oh, Jesus made each star in heaven. He created earth and sea. He's the keeper of all knowledge, what is past and what will be. Yet he offers his great wisdom, so you will not lose your way. Like a lamp, it glows every step. It shows you can know his will each day. Trust his word. Trust his word. All God's promises are true. Trust his word. When your pathway disappears, when your joy gives way to tears, when you're plagued with doubts and fears, trust his word. He is not a distant stranger. He can be your closest friend. And he'll always listen closely when you share your heart with him. Jesus walks the path beside you. He has been there all along. And he'll guide your feet when your step is weak and your strength is almost gone. Trust his word. Trust his word. All God's promises are true. Trust his word. When your pathway disappears, when your joy gives way to tears, when you're plagued with doubts and fears, trust his word.
Copy of God's Word today to the Gospel of John. John chapter 9. We're going to look at the next sermon in our sermon series today entitled Encountering Jesus, Life is Never the Same. Let me ask you as we get started this morning, what about your life has really changed since you met Jesus? What about your life has really changed since you met Jesus? What ways did you really change when you accepted the gift of eternal life? Last Sunday morning, we were in John chapter 8, and we looked at the adulteress faces the light of the world. Jesus encountered many people during his earthly ministry, and all of them had the same thing in common. They were all sinners in need of a tremendous amount of God's grace. The woman that Jesus encountered in John chapter 8 was caught in sin, and she desperately needed forgiveness. Jesus said that he came into the world to be a light that shines in darkness. The passage that we looked at last Sunday morning clearly conveys to each and every one of us that before a holy God, we are nothing more than riffraff people, all in need of God's forgiveness. We're all sinners who desperately need the mercy and the grace that God extends, not just his justice. We asked the question as we began last Sunday morning, why did the woman remain in the presence of Jesus? And we looked at the passage and we saw three ways that Jesus responded to this woman and her sin. Number one was confrontation. We read in that passage that the religious leaders drug her before Jesus and confronted him with the situation and the fact that the woman had been caught in sin. And I stated last Sunday morning that like those religious leaders, we all want to condemn someone, but we fail to realize that we are all sinners before a holy God. Number two was conviction. We saw in that passage that they questioned Jesus not once, but more than once. What do you say, Jesus, in regards to what the law and the prophets state? We record in Scripture, we find the record that it says Jesus did nothing but stoop down and began to write in the sand. As I stated last Sunday, there are three possibilities of what maybe Jesus wrote. Number one was that he made a list of their sins. Number two was that he wrote out the Ten Commandments. And number three was that he wrote down their names. We read in Scripture that as he did that, one by one, oldest to youngest, they began to leave. Number three, the third way that Jesus responded was comfort. Jesus treated her with a number of different things. Number one was dignity. Number two was compassion, with frankness, grace, and hope. There are times in life where we need to confront people about their sin, but we must remember that we are also sinners. We must also remember that conviction is a good thing, not a bad thing. It's God's way of letting us know how much he cares for us. If we were never convicted, we never know of God's saving grace. We need to be often reminded that God's grace leads to repentance. When it comes to our sin, God's forgiveness, it's never too late, nor are we too bad of a sinner. We close with a reminder that may God help us to understand that our past is covered by the blood of Christ and the future is possible only because of God's grace. You're in John chapter 9. Would you look with me, if you would, at the first 11 and 12 verses? John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Would you join me in standing this morning, if you are able, as we publicly honor the reading of God's Word today? John chapter 9, follow along in your copy of God's Word as I begin in verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Then he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who had previously seen that this man was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he, and others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go wash in the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. You may be seated. This morning we're going to look at the man born blind. The man born blind. But before we jump into our study this morning, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, would you help us now as we open up the Word of God? And as we seek to look at the man born blind, Father, would you give us understanding and give us insight into his life, the ways in which Jesus Christ came into his life and the man was changed forever. Father, hide your servant behind the cross this morning. Father, give me the words that you would have me to say. The message that you have laid upon my heart, may it go forward in power this morning. May you convict all of our hearts. And may we leave today with a greater understanding of how it is that we can live for God. how it is that we can really live changed because we've encountered Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I've entitled The Man Born Blind. The Man Born Blind. You ever had one of those days that you will never, ever forget? A day that had a profound impact on your life? And I'm sure you have. We all have had those days. Days we'll never forget. September 11, 2001. 9/11. The World Trade Center. The Pentagon. Where were you? December 7, 1941. The attack on Pearl Harbor. Where were you? November 2, 2016, the Chicago Cubs win the World Series, a day we thought would never come. Then there's more personal events that happened in our own lives. March 13, 2011, the day I became a full-time senior pastor. January 31, 2011, the day I asked my wife to marry me. May 4th, 2012, the day I graduated from college. September 1st, 2012, the day I got married. And no, I did not forget that this year. January 14th, 2014, the day I welcomed my first child into the world, Miriam. November 16th, 2014, the day I began ministry here in Brayton. April 6th, 2017, I finally welcomed a baby boy into our family. May 28th, 1993, the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, days have a profound impact on our life. What we do with each and every day can make a difference. There are so many more days that I will never forget, and I'm sure you will as well. Days that have changed our lives forever, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in big ways. You come to John chapter 9 and you read about a man whose life was changed in a day. Let's pick up verse 13. Follow along with me. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And when the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight, he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." And others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him because he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they had called his parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means now does he see? We do not know. Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." And his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if someone confessed that he was Christ, that he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So again they called the man who was born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know is this, I was blind and now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? And do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke from Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." And the man answered and said to them, "Why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from? Yet he had opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard that anyone who opened the eyes of one who was born blind, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and you and your teaching us." And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. This morning's message is a little different, because I'm going to tell you this morning's message from the blind man. The blind man. Four stages in this man's growing understanding of Jesus. The first stage, a man called Jesus. A man called Jesus. There I was, sitting on the side of the road, just like I did every other day, begging for money. I know it was a warm day because of the sweet sun and the sweat that was forming on my brow. I had changed positions a couple times because I didn't really want to face the sun. People were passing by, and the smell of dust was kicked up by sandals as they walked past, reaching my nostrils. There was a slight breeze. I heard the rustle of the wind, and the birds were chirping, sending a refreshing sound of joy to my ears. And I wish I could tell you about the clothes that people were wearing, or the colors of the field or the sky, but I can't. Since the day of my birth, I have only seen darkness. I've never seen light. I've never seen the sun, I've never seen the moon, I've never seen the stars. I've never seen my mother's face or my father's. I've never seen the clouds, I've never seen the grass or the sand that sifts through my hands as I sit here begging on the side of the road. To be honest, I don't even know what the color green is. I've never seen bushes or trees or animals. I've never seen the sunflower stand tall in the face of the sun, turning to watch the sun as it travels across the horizon and gracefully bows as the sun sets and night approaches. I've never seen the tear of a family over someone who's died that they love. I've been blind from birth. Never have I seen and never will I see. There's no hope for me. My lot's been cast. All the days of my life I must sit here and I must beg for handouts from strangers, people I do not know, so that I might be able to live just one more day. Hope, you say. I have no hope. There's no cure for blindness. That was the story of everyday life for me, as I can remember. The same day over and over and over. Nothing but darkness, nothing but blackness, no light, no hope. But today was different. Life-changing different. I heard this group of men talking as they were passing by. Now, normally, I don't listen. I just hope that they put something in the basket that I had sitting there so I would have something for the day. But for some reason, this felt different. And as I listened intently and they got closer, I began to realize they were talking about me. One of the men said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I was floored. This disciple is asking his teacher questions about my family and me as though I'm not even there. How rude can you get? I'm blind, not dead. And I can still hear. I have feelings, you know. And then to have the nerve to insult, that insinuate that my parents or I could have caused such a thing as my blindness to happen? Who was this man? Give me a break. Yes, I know it's a common thought that if something is wrong in your life, an ailment or some kind of leprosy or lame, blind, cancer, whatever it is, that somehow you did something to bring it upon yourself. But the fact is, I was born blind. I didn't wish this upon myself. My parents didn't bring this on me. My parents loved me, they raised me, they took care of me. Then I heard a different voice. I almost jumped for joy when I heard the rabbi say, "Neither this man sinned nor his parents." And I thought, I wanted to shout, "Yes! Somebody finally gets it and is willing to speak out. Somebody's speaking for me." But the next words that came out of the man's mouth really surprised me. He said this, "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Really, this happened to me so that the work of God could be displayed in my life? I have to tell you, I didn't have a clue what he meant by that. Not right at that moment. And I thought about this statement for the next couple of days, and I gained a better understanding of what he meant, and I'll share that with you later. But first, let me tell you what happened next. Now, hang on to your sandals. You're not going to believe this. This man who had expressed kindness towards me, this man who would defend me, I heard him bend down. And I heard him, it was as if he scooped up dirt from the ground in his hand. Then I heard him spit into his hand, and you could almost hear him mixing up the mud with his finger. I had no idea what he's doing. What's going on? And all of a sudden, I began to feel him gently put the mud where my eyes were. And I thought, well, this is weird. Strangers don't do this to me normally. Then he said to me, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So I went and I did what he said. There was just something in his voice as I made my way there, something that was different, something that made me know that he truly cared about me. I couldn't see him. I didn't know who he was. But I went to the pool of Siloam and I washed. And the strangest thing happened to me. As I began to wash the mud off of my eyes, I began to realize something. I could see the water. I could see the mud. As I looked down, as I washed my face, the best thing I could have ever imagined came true. I could see. Now, this isn't something that you would consider to be something special, but I'd never seen a thing in my entire life, from my birth till now. I had all that I wanted in life but my sight. And I wanted to see all my life, and now I finally could. I saw the water I just washed in. It was crystal clear. I could see the sky and how bright blue it was with the white fluffy clouds. I could see. I saw the trees and the pastures and the people. People's faces. No longer did I have to wonder what they looked like. I could see them. The expressions on their face. And at that moment, I had a fleeting desire to know what the face of the rabbi was that told me to go and wash. The one who had put the mud on my eyes. I ran home to my parents for the first time in my life, and I shouted as I came in the house, "Look, I can see! I can see!" My parents didn't know what to say. People I passed, I told, "I can see! I can see!" They probably thought I was crazy. But I could finally see. I'm not sure how it is in your day with the internet and with cell phones and TVs. But back in my day, we had this problem called gossip. You probably don't even know what that was or is. But it basically meant that people would talk about a problem that you had with someone else instead of you. Because they were too chicken to talk directly to you in person. Well, I had heard that some neighbors were talking with some people who didn't even know me, but had seen me begging on the side of the road, and they said this, "Isn't this the same man that used to sit on the road and beg?" Some acknowledged that it was me. Others said, "No, it's not him. It just looks like him." I couldn't contain my excitement. Everyone that said that, I walked up to them and I said, "Yes, it's me. I'm the one that sat by the road. I can see now." They had so many questions. How? When? Where? Why? They wanted to know how my eyes had been opened. Who opened them? Where was the person that had opened my eyes? Why was I not with him? I jumped at the opportunity to tell them the story. I discovered that it was the man they called Jesus who had opened my eyes. I told them the miraculous details of how Jesus bent down and he grabbed the dirt and he put it on my eyes. How he had spit in it, he made mud with it, he put it on my eyes and then told me to go wash. So I did and I went and I washed and I could see. And I have to admit, I was a little embarrassed when I had to tell them that I didn't know where Jesus was. To be honest, I didn't even know what he looked like. How do you know what someone looks like that you've only met once in your life and you couldn't even see him then? I hadn't even attempted to find him to say thank you. The second stage, a prophet. A prophet. Then things really started to get complicated. the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they got involved. I heard that the Pharisees didn't like Jesus. They didn't like what he was doing, and they were constantly trying to find a way to kill him. I don't know about you, but why would you want to kill somebody that makes the blind to see? I don't understand. Or the lame to walk. I don't understand. The Pharisees had this huge list of hundreds of laws that they had to obey in order to go to heaven. And if they were found lacking in any of those areas, they were toast. The problem was, though, that some of these laws were in conflict with each other, so that if you obeyed one, then you disobeyed the other one. For instance, if you were to touch a dead or a dying body, you were ceremonial unclean. And you had to go through the rituals in order to become cleansed again. However, Jesus said, and I'd heard his teachings, that you were expected to help one another. I'd also heard Jesus share the story of the Pharisees regarding a man who had been beaten that was laying on the side of the road, helpless, much like me, left for dead. Two religious leaders, probably Pharisees, saw the body, since they were on their way to the synagogue, and they passed on, Scripture says, on the other side of the street, so they would not be ceremonially unclean. But then there was a man who cared, a man called a Samaritan, someone who was considered to be a second-class citizen, that came and he helped this man. Jesus said the Samaritan was a better neighbor to the man than those religious men. The Pharisees didn't like being compared to Samaritans. And for a Samaritan to take first place didn't make it any better. The Pharisees didn't like the whole idea that Jesus had healed me on the Sabbath. They were upset. Who is this guy that heals on the Sabbath? Doesn't he know better? Apparently it violated one of their top 10 rules, which was not to do any work on the Sabbath. Evidently, healing a man who was blind from birth is considered work. To me, Jesus did nothing more than put mud on my eyes. I was the one that had to go. I personally consider it a miracle, and I'm not sure if there's a rule against that, but hey, I was just a former blind beggar. I can't read their rules. Then the Pharisees started arguing amongst themselves about who Jesus was. Some of the Pharisees said, "This is not a man from God, for he doesn't even keep the Sabbath." Others asked, how can a sinner do such a miraculous sign? And I'm sitting there and I'm going, he's not a sinner! For even I knew that somebody that could do this wasn't a sinner. Surely he had to be a prophet. Surely he had to be somebody. Who was this guy? Their debate made me think about the same question. Who is this Jesus? There was something special about him. After all, I was blind and now I see. That doesn't happen every day. How amazing is that? I recalled that they referred to Jesus as the man they call Jesus when I explained it to the neighbors. But now I realized that he can't just be a man. In order to perform miracles, he had to be sent from God. Perhaps a prophet. If he was sent by God, then he's got to be a prophet. And all of a sudden, all of the religious leaders turned to me and they asked me who I thought he was. They asked me, a former blind beggar, who is this guy? Yesterday I didn't even know who I was. And they avoided me at all costs. And now today I'm sitting in the midst of them and they're asking me, who is this guy? Now these religious leaders, these lifelong theologians, they're asking me these questions. Something told me they didn't really care what I thought, but I told them anyway. I said, he's a prophet. The religious leaders did not believe that I had been blind and that I'd received my sight until they sent for my parents. I thought, hello, I can see you. Ask me a question. But they brought in my parents. And my parents confirmed that I was their child and that I'd been born blind. When the Pharisees asked my parents how I had gained my eyesight, they didn't know. They said, he's of age. Ask him. All the while, I began to get frustrated. I can see. I can see. But they weren't listening. There was an understanding that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was Christ would be put out of the synagogue. It was not politically correct to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. And I'm sure the days of having to be politically correct are long gone. But in that day, if you declared Jesus to be the Christ, you were put out of the synagogue. Who was this man? The man they called Jesus. The man I thought was a prophet. Stage number three. A man of God. Again, I was summoned to meet with the Pharisees. And I told them the only thing that I knew for certain. I kind of began to feel like a record, playing the same thing over and over and over again. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. And I said this over and over again, and the meeting went on. But that was not very fruitful, other than it helped me to think more heavily upon who Jesus was. Every time I said I was blind, but now I see, I was brought closer to who He was. I dwelt, who is this man? What more could He do for me? If Jesus was not from God, He would not have been able to open my eyes because I was blind from birth. Doctors couldn't do this. Only somebody from God, only a man of God could do this. I took my stand and I would not move off it. The Pharisees were upset and told me I was steeped in sin from my birth, and they threw me out of the synagogue. There I sat outside of the synagogue, wondering what to do. I was upset about their comment, but as I dwelt on it, I realized that maybe there was some truth in that. I was steeped in sin from my birth. I remember hearing how Adam and Eve fell from God's grace, how they disobeyed Him, and their sin entered the world, and there was a barrier between God and all of mankind, and that God would eventually restore that relationship through the Messiah. But could that be Jesus? I didn't know. Perhaps. I was a sinner under the curse. That was a bitter pill to swallow after being granted my eyesight. A gift which I believe would be the one thing that would make me whole and complete. But you know, as I sat there and I looked around in the street at the people, at the houses, at the things that I could see for the first time, I felt like I was missing something. The longer I sat there, the more it began to dawn on me, maybe the thing I desired most in my life wasn't my eyesight. The longer I sat there, the longer I pondered that. There had to be something more. Something that would make me whole. Something that would make me complete. There had to be something more that I needed, but I didn't know how to get it. Then came stage four, the Son of God. Jesus had heard that they had thrown me out, and He came and He found me. And at first I didn't know who Jesus was. When you can't see and the only thing you're dependent upon is the sound of a person's voice, you listen more intently. And I remember as I sat there, I heard a voice come up behind me. And I recognized that voice. That was the voice of the one that had put the mud on my eyes. He had found me. I knew it was Him. This was the Jesus who'd healed my blind eyes. I turned around and I looked at Him and I saw in those eyes compassion. I knew this was the man. The man who had grabbed the dirt, the man who had put it on my eyes, the man who had told me to go wash. It was amazing. He sought me out. He came to me. I didn't search for Him. He came to me. He came to find me. It's as if He knew I had a much greater need than my eyesight. He knew I needed something more. Then He asked me a question. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" His question, if you were asking it today, would probably be paraphrased like this. You do believe in Messiah sent from God to provide for forgiveness of your sins, don't you? This is a very personal and very direct question that required, it demanded a personal decision and a commitment on my part and on your part today. I knew at that moment that my greatest need was not my eyesight. It was my forgiveness of sins. I wasn't just blind physically, I was blind spiritually. I could not see that my sin kept me blind from a God who loved me. I needed forgiveness. Suddenly I heard myself answer, "Who is he, sir? Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." As if this day couldn't get any better, I realized that the one who could truly give me forgiveness was standing, staring at me, face to face, eye to eye. This was Jesus. At that moment, I looked into my Savior's eyes, which were filled with love and compassion. I cannot explain, and I said, "Lord, I believe." And I knew that I meant it. This man who had given me my eyesight, this man, this was the one that I wanted to put my trust in. This was the man I knew had to be God's Son. Luke wrote down here in your passage of Scripture that you have today, it says that I worshipped him. I thought I was happy when I got my eyesight back, but folks, I was happier when I realized my sins were forgiven in Jesus Christ. I fell down. I worshipped him with all my heart. I no longer had to care about political correctness. I no longer had to care about who thought what about me, because the person that truly cared for me was Jesus. I knew the truth. I'd been set free from my sin. Now I understand what Jesus said when he told his disciples, "This happens so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." The greatest gift I could ever receive was not my eyesight. The greatest gift that I could ever receive was a personal relationship with Jesus. He wasn't just some guy. He wasn't a guy called Jesus. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a man from God. This was God's Son. And he cared about me to seek me out. I thought back to an Old Testament passage. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned aside." Then I thought of Jesus' teachings. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He came for me, someone born in darkness, physically and spiritually. He came for me. Through my personal relationship with him, all the struggles I would ever face, I would face with him. He would strengthen me. But it was through, in my case, the physical healing of my eyes that he brought about the greatest healing, my spiritual need of a Savior. Open our eyes, Lord. I'm sure when the blind man got up that morning, he had no idea that that would be the day would be different from any other day in his life. I'm sure that he planned to live out that day pretty much like every other day before it. The blackness of darkness, to sit there on the side of the road to beg, to see no one, to feel hopeless and helpless, to feel lost, to feel without a purpose. He did not realize that that day there would be a man by the name of Jesus who was going to shatter his darkness forever, both physical as well as spiritual. We need to close this morning. Maybe the question for you today is this: do you prefer to live in the darkness of sin, or will you come to know the light of the world that this man did? Once the blind man was healed by Jesus, he became aware of what Jesus really meant when he said the works of God today will be revealed in him. If Jesus had not healed the man's eyes, he would not have been able to see his greater spiritual need that he had. The man understood that through his physical blindness, he was bad. But he had a greater need. He needed to be healed from spiritual blindness. Jesus said this in verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, that those who see may be blind." Jesus came into the world to make the blind to see. I was one of them. He came so that I could see. The blind man's physical healing brought him to the point of understanding that he was spiritually blind as well. When the blind man understood, he said, "I believe. I believe with all my heart. This is Jesus." Are you spiritually blind to the things of God today? Do you need Jesus to open your eyes so you can see the truth of the gospel? If you belong to Jesus already this morning, won't you live so that the world around you knows that you've been with Jesus? Proverbs 4 and verse 18 says this, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Spiritually blind people around us, they may not see the truth of God. Though it be right in front of them, they may not see it. But like the man sitting on the side of the road begging because he was blind, he heard it. Scripture says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.